Dirty Joke of the Week, tomorrow morning with Big Ron on Q106.5. Know the rules, because a good punchline is a terrible thing to waste.
Okay,
hi, what on?
Hey, this is MC Lars, you know the rapper? We're going to be coming in to your store in a little bit, me and my band, and we've actually got the mall Santa. Like, I know he's not there yet, but, you know, we're friends of his. His name's Bruce, for real.
Okay.
We're going to be coming in there and doing, like, a dance number.
He's been living at the airport, I heard. Hacking into phones, 2600 hertz. Tone dialing with that blue box, apparently. Switch hook, pulse generating in severity. That someone so maniacal would be so nice. Met him on the net back in 95. He sent me his tape, I sent some cassettes. Now there's a torrent on his site where you can get the Seattle phone pranks, rare jerky boys calls, Mark Knopfler, Latrine. And that's not all. I sent hella boxes of merch to his house for my run last fall, and he didn't even grouse. Pick me up at the airport before our tour. Then he helped me fold like 100 shirts. He's an OG and he's lived everywhere. This phone loser is a winner cause he cares. Brad Carter, he'd be on the phone like that, calling up your mom just to have a little chat, telling her that he dinged her car, but he's been a great friend to MC Lars. Brad Carter could have gone to federal jail, still on probation, but he'll never fail at making us laugh with illegal hijinks. PhoneLosers.com, yeah, the site's pretty hyphy.
I'm gonna be rapping. We're gonna have musicians. We'll be jumping around on you know, racks and stuff, doing acrobats
in our store.
Yeah, it's like a guerrilla marketing campaign, just like a little impromptu show. We're going to be in there in just a few minutes. We're in the parking lot right now with Santa Claus.
And now this COVID news has got us feeling blue. Isolated in our homes, locked up in our rooms. And what are we to do when there's nowhere to go? Thank goodness he's got 47 different podcast shows. JK, just four that I see, Amina. I'm always stoked when he drops a new Dabalina. Plus Cactus Shack and the Snowplow Show. What do you know? Look, there's a new Hobiso. Don't tell anyone, but I got a secret link where I can stream the shows. Secretly, it's pretty neat. When my son was born, he sent Atlas a toy. A baby cell phone that he still enjoys, and we plan to visit him when we're back in town. Eat burritos on the patio, yeah, it's going down, and you can visit too. Here's his home address. Brad is the raddest. Brad Carter, he'd be on the phone like that, calling up your mom just to have a little chat, telling her that he dinged her car, but he's been a great friend to MC Lars. Brad Carter could have gone to federal jail, still on probation, but he'll never fail at making us laugh with illegal hijinks. PhoneLosers.com, yeah, the site's pretty hyphy.
We're going to do some rapping. I'm going to rap about blockchain and Edgar Allan Poe and stuff.
Unfortunately, you still need to have permission from my manager.
Ma'am, you're getting a free concert. We do this for a living. I go on tours and stuff. I'm a rapper.
A lot of people are rappers.
Wow, a lot of people are rappers. You know what a lot of people are, lady? A lot of people are doctors and nurses. Why don't you call them up and belittle their occupations and be like, you know what? You're not a hero because a lot of people are nurses and doctors. A lot of people work in retail, like that girl that just told us that a lot of people are rappers. But we don't belittle them. Well, maybe I am right now, I guess. Anyway, that was MC Lars with a song about me. Thanks, MC Lars, for making a song all about me. I love songs that are all about me because then I can use them on my podcast. He wrote that back in 2021. I haven't played it nearly enough on my other shows. I need to play that more often. Anyway, hi everybody, you're listening to Brad's Cactus Shack. This is episode 19. This is the podcast where I play old recordings of how weird I used to be in hopes of convincing everyone how completely normal and reformed I am now. I don't know if it's working or not. I think I'm making the problem worse. Today, we're going to talk about a couple of incidents that I think are way past the statute of limitations, and I'm now allowed to talk about them freely without fear of going to jail. I've been asked by a few people on Reddit, and I guess in the voicemails on the Snowplow Show, to talk about old freaking adventures of my past, as well as other things. I've got a whole list of things I need to do on Brad's Cactus Shack. But this one originally comes from Positive and Multiple. He posted on Reddit that he would kill for a semi-technical podcast of RB talking about some Mitnick-esque freaking exploits he pulled off back in the day. And look here, Positive and Multiple, I'm no Kevin Mitnick. I'm nowhere near as technically savvy as that guy was, and I don't know shit about phone stuff, really, compared to him. How dare you compare him to me, because that's just going to make me look stupid. because Mitnick was amazing. Rest in peace, Kevin Mitnick. He died a couple of years ago, if you haven't heard about that. I just wanted to get that out of the way, though. I am not Mitnick. I am nowhere close to how cool Kevin Mitnick was back in the day. Oh, and he also wanted me to congratulate Malto Meal for his upcoming wedding. And he's emailed me about this, actually, off of Reddit. And this was years ago, so I don't know if a wedding ever happened or if they're still married. Maybe they're divorced by now. But whatever the case, I guess congratulations, Malto Meal, for your wedding that maybe happened, maybe didn't. Maybe you're a made-up person that Positive and Multiple made up just to try and get me to do what he wanted me to do. I don't know any of these people. Anyway, when he says back in the day Freaking Adventures, I assume he means the 90s, because that's when I was mostly active with all my weird phone stuff. But when I think about that stuff, you know, back in the 90s that I used to do, it's all really kind of boring. I'd sit at payphones for hours, and I would jump into dumpsters and steal cool phone company papers, like not for any reason other than just to feel cool, like, whoa, look at all this secret information I have that I probably will do nothing with ever, but at least I feel like a real phone freak slash hacker now. And, you know, lots of social engineering that I did back then, but I don't have recordings of, so what's the point? It seems like I talked about a lot of this 90s stuff in the PLA book, so I thought I would just completely ignore Positive and Multiple's requests and settle for something a little more recent. So I've got this incident that happened starting in July of 2009. I'm going to tell you about two times where I beige boxed. That's basically what this whole episode is, but I promise it's a little more than that. A couple months before July of 2009, I'd been offered a weekly DJing gig on a radio station called Party 93.4. Shout out to them, by the way, party93.4.com. They're the ones that got me into doing live shows, which turned into the phone show, which ran for 4 years, and that was just a lot of fun. And I really appreciate Party 93.4. I didn't last very long on the station itself. I was kind of a jerk and just left to start up my own station with hookers and booze and blackjack. But for 2 hours every Monday night, I think is the original time I was on. It seems like it moved to Tuesday, then maybe to Wednesday, but I think originally it was Monday. Right before the world famous Squid Dog and Rob show, I would play music and take calls, usually with a co-host, which originally was Linear. And sometimes we would make prank calls, but in the early days, I was just trying to figure out what the show was supposed to be about. And I think that was right around the beginning of starting to use Skype as a phone call device, both on the show and with my private investigator work that I did at the time. I think internet had started to get good enough at that time where internet phone calls didn't sound like crap. So I stopped using my home landline. I still had one, I just didn't use it for taking calls on the show and doing my real life work stuff. The phone show was a lot of fun, though. A lot of good stuff came out of those early years before it completely turned into a whole different thing. Like, I had my son co-host with me one time, and I let him talk to a guy that would go on to accidentally kill somebody in his secret underground tunnel network.
That's not a problem. I'm a very talented microsurgeon. I vivisect young children every week in my basement.
Why don't you just steal their vocal cords?
Good idea, actually.
You guys probably remember Skunkworks on that show if you were a listener. And what else did we do in those early days? I think Linear wanted to prank the Balloon Boy dad. If anyone remembers Balloon Boy, he was a big thing in the news because he made up a story about his son going up in a hot air balloon and being stuck up in the sky, but he actually wasn't. He was just hiding in the house somewhere. And the dad totally knew about that. But I remember calling the phone company where he lived and talking to the assignment department of the phone company, wherever he lived. I can't remember where he lived now. And I pretended to be a technician, and I said, hey, I need all the phone numbers that work at this house. And she's like, well, I gotta be careful with this one. This one's a hot item today, which is the first time I'd ever heard a phone company say that before because of a news story that was out, or maybe it was a hot item this week or whatever. I guess other people were trying to get their phone numbers in the same way that I was, which was bizarre to me. And why am I even been bringing this up. I don't think we reached Balloon Boy on our show, did we? I think we tried. Did that happen, though? I can't remember, and I'm not going to look it up. So here, let me just get to the point. On July 6th, 2009, I did a show of psychic hotline readings because I wanted to give callers psychic readings. I thought that'd be the coolest thing ever if my listeners could call in and have psychics give them psychic readings.
So as usual, we're depending on your phone calls to make anything happen tonight. So give us a call at 505-796-4020 or phonelizards.org on Skype. And tonight we're going to do some, hopefully, psychic readings live on the air. So if you call in, we might give you a free psychic reading through the Psychic Friends Network. So give us a call. It'll be awesome.
And back in the 90s, psychic readings were big business because 1-900 numbers were big business back then, too. There were tons of sex lines. There was Miss Cleo. Remember Miss Cleo? She probably had her own 1-900 number. And there were just 900 numbers out there for everything you could imagine. Like, I have a bunch of recordings of them that played on late night TV. Like, here, call this 1-900 number and it will make you cry. The stories are so sad. And I remember I called up a Bill and Ted Excellent Adventure hotline 1-900 number once when I was a teenager that was $1 a minute charged to my parents' phone bill. That's the only time I ever played with 900 numbers back then, which I remember paying them back for. I'm like, hey, I called a 1-900 number and I'm sorry, I know it's stupid. It was for some kind of a contest, but I think I may have won. Anyway, here's $1. Sorry for charging this to your phone bill. Hopefully it didn't cost them more than that. It probably ended up being $25 or something. But anyway, in 2009, I figured there would still be a lot of psychic hotlines out there, the 1-900 numbers, and maybe a lot of sex lines too. I found out there were not. I think I could only find one good psychic hotline number that still had a 900 number because, I don't know, maybe everyone was getting 900 number blocks on their phones because that was kind of a scam, getting people to call 1-900 numbers. So everybody wanted a block on their line. I think I had a block on my line. I messed around with 1-900 numbers a lot in the 90s and did some pretty crazy things. And like I said, I still had a landline. A lot of people still had landlines in 2009. That was kind of a normal thing, even though everyone had a cell phone at that point, including me. And obviously, I didn't want to pay 1-900 number style fees to make this happen on my show. I ain't made of money, so I was going to steal my phone calls from the local 7-Eleven, which was 2 or 3 blocks from my house. So my friends were visiting me, and they were on this episode with me. They were the kind of friends that would pretty much just go along with any type of crime I wanted to do. And I went along with a lot of their crimes. We just had lots of fun doing crimes together. And these particular friends, I no longer really talk to them anymore. They got, more into drugs than making silly prank phone calls. I don't even know if I should name them, really. They were always weird about me using their names. I mean, obviously not their real names, but we'll just call them the Mr. and the Mrs. They were my best friends at the time, and we visited each other often. Our kids all played together while we hid up in my room and made prank phone calls, or whatever other craziness we got up to. So anyway, here's the plan. Here's how I'm going to get free 1-900 number calls. I'm going to use an old trick from the 90s that I've done many times before. I'm going to order call forwarding on one of the phone lines at the local 7-Eleven. And I think I picked the fax line because that's usually a good one to use because then the store can still use their landline and receive calls and everything and they won't know anything weird's going on until someone tries to call their fax line and I've messed it up. So I had to take the 1-900 number block off of their phone. Because obviously your 7-Eleven employees are probably a bunch of weirdos that are going to make 1-900 number calls on your business line when you're not around. I don't know if this was actually a problem for convenience stores, employees calling 1-900 numbers. But is what I did is I called up the phone company, whatever it was called at the time. I think it's called CenturyLink now, but I don't know. They changed their name so many times, I forget at this point. I called them up. I said, hey, I am the manager of 7-Eleven, and you have no reason to disbelieve me. And I need to remove the 1-900 number block that is on my phone. And I think maybe I did that second. The first thing I did is I added call forwarding onto their fax line, which I asked the phone company to give me the number to, and they did, because I don't know 7-Eleven's fax phone number. So I'm like, looky here, lady, I need call forwarding added onto my fax line. It's a home office thing, you wouldn't understand. Don't worry your pretty little head about it. And she did that. She set it all up. There was nothing weird about it. It's a pretty normal request for a manager to make. I think I got the name of the manager so that I could pretend to be him, or not the manager, the owner. The manager turned out to be somebody I kind of knew. I found out later. Spoiler alert. So I order call forwarding and I take the 900 number block off of the phone. I probably said something stupid like, oh yeah, the home office, they're gonna make us call a 900 number to fax in our weekly reports. I don't know what I said. I can't remember. It's been such a long time. What's it been, like 16 years now, I think, at this point, almost. So I take care of all that stuff. It all works out just fine. She tells me that the services will be active later today or maybe tomorrow morning. I don't remember how long it takes for that stuff to happen, but it happened. And still, there's a problem. There's another step to do. We have to get on their phone line and dial the call forwarding code and then dial the 1-900 number to forward all of their fax line calls to. So 7-Eleven has this fax line number, and I want to make it so every time I call that local number from anywhere else, I'm going to reach the psychic hotline people. And to make it extra safe, I'm going to be calling it from my Skype line. And there's no way that a 900 number could be charged to Skype, as far as I know. There's a lot of things I discovered back in the 90s where I accidentally did charge 1-900 number calls to my own phone when I called a forwarded line like that, where it would charge the person whose call that I forwarded from, but it would also pass through and charge me as well, which doesn't make sense. I don't know how it can charge two numbers, but I swear to you it happened multiple times with multiple different services. Don't ask me to explain, because I don't understand telephones. I'm no Kevin Mitnick, as I mentioned before. So how do we get on their fax line? Their fax is locked up in the office. I don't think the fax is out in the counter area. Obviously, the easiest thing to do would have been to forward their regular voice line, and then I can go in there and, you know, type in the codes, say, hey, can I use your phone? You know me, I'm in here all the time. But then they've got me on camera doing that, and that seems like a bad idea. So, is what we did is the phone box on the outside of their building, it was on the side of their building, right next to a parking curb. So me and my two friends, the Mr. and the Mrs., we went to 7-Eleven. We bought ourselves some snacks. I remember I bought peanut butter M&Ms because I spilt some of them in the parking lot while we were sitting there on the curb looking all innocent next to their phone box. The phone box was way down on the ground, so it was perfect level for me just sitting next to it. And I had a telephone with me. It was a lineman's handset, which is one of those orange phones that you see on a phone company guy's belt. I mean, I know a lot of people don't see phone company guys out and about these days, but I promise you that's a real thing. And I was given a phone company lineman's handset by somebody who stole it off of a phone company truck a long time ago. And I still have that same phone today. It comes in very useful when you do lots of weird phone stuff around the house. But we sat there on the curb. A lineman's handset has alligator clips on it, so you can just clip onto the screws that are inside the box on the outside of their building. And the box, I don't think it was even screwed down. I think it just opened up. It was a weird looking silver box. Usually you have to use a Phillips head screwdriver to open those up and get in there. So I clipped onto the first couple pairs of wires. I dialed an ANI number, which means automatic number identification. We used to have this awesome one in the 90s called 1-800-MY-ANI-IS. But that had stopped working at some point in the mid-90s. The one I've always used since then is a Sprint phone line, and it's 1-800-444-4444. Let's see if that still works. I'm going to call it right now. Weird, it's not working on my VoIP phone, but let's try calling it from my cell phone.
Thank you for calling MCI. Our system indicates you are calling from 978-831-4806. If this is the number you are calling about, press 1.
So, not a Sprint number, it's an MCI number, and I think it always has been, but that has worked since the 90s. I love that phone number. If you ever want to know what the phone number is of a phone that you're calling from, just call 1-800-444-4444. There's other phone company service lines that do that, but that one is just so easy to remember because it's all fours. So I call up that MCI phone number from the side of this 7-Eleven building. While customers are going in and out, I'm kind of trying to hide my phone next to my jacket. And we want to do this as quickly as possible before somebody warns them or before an employee comes out for a cigarette break. And they're like, hey, what are you doing over here? That's pretty weird. And I know the first number I tried was their landline, and I knew it was their landline. I had all their phone numbers written down. The second one I didn't recognize, but I found out later it was their payphone. This was right before they ripped their payphones out. And the third one I tried was their fax line. So once I found out it was their fax line, all I had to do was dial the call forwarding code. And that code would have either been 72 pound or *72. That's how you activate it. I always dial 72 pound, and then you hear a stuttering dial tone. And that's where it's asking you to dial the number that you want to forward that line to. And I dial 1-900, psychic network, whatever the phone number was. And then a recording would say something like, thank you, your call has been forwarded. Hopefully I can find that recording and insert it in here from thisisarecording.com. But if not, you failed me, Jennifer Martino. So it's done, it's forwarded. I pick up my M&Ms off of the parking lot ground and eat them as we quickly walk home, because I want to go home and see if it works. We did this on Monday night, or whatever night our show was at the time, just a couple of hours before the show was about to start. So it might not have worked, and we would have just done a regular show then. But guess what, everybody? It did work. I got on my Skype, and I dialed the local 7-Eleven phone number, and I reached the psychic network phone line thing.
Welcome to the live psychic line brought to you by GCI. The service is intended for adults 18 and over for only $3.99 per minute with a 99-cent connection fee. Billing begins 3 seconds.
That's a bargain.
I had to hold for just a little bit, and then I would be connected to a psychic, and it was a pretty fun show. So right off, we get a person on the line who sounds way too young for a psychic reading.
Hi, how you doing? What's your name?
My name is Scott.
Okay, Scott, and your birthday, please?
Oh, my birthday is September 16th.
I think she wants the year to prove that you're above the age of consent.
Oh, I was born in 1962.
So how old are you?
That means that I'm like 44.
Are you sure?
No, that's wrong. I know.
Lydia, I don't know about this guy.
Okay, Lydia. Well, I think we need to end this call.
Oh, no, we authorized.
Listen,
adults.
Lydia, I'm an adult.
Is it authorized? I mean, what y'all
absolutely
want me to do?
Yes, it's authorized. We're from a radio show. We're doing some free psychic readings on the air. I'm born in 1972. I'm 36 years old.
Oh, wait, I'm on the air?
Yeah, you're talking to people in New York.
We're in a one-party state, so it doesn't matter if you consent or not.
Oh, God. Okay, and it's Lady, L-A-D-Y.
No pressure at all.
Here's a part where I pretty much admit that we're stealing.
Thank you for paying for that psychic reading.
I think we might have been better.
I don't think we paid for it. Wink, wink.
No. I get it.
We have a psychic accusing us of the weirdest thing.
I feel all kind of vibes. So I already feel the vibes of my phone call. You understand? Actually, I feel like stole somebody's credit card and just having fun.
Here's me trying to get ahead of the police on the situation of me stealing from 7-Eleven. You know, stealing their phone calls.
This is all very spiritual.
She doesn't realize this is all going to be charged back because it's a fraudulent call.
Excuse me?
I didn't say anything. Ma'am, can you tell me if Bell Security is in my future?
Hold on with me.
Okay.
Bell, this isn't the 50s.
No.
This isn't the 50s.
Oh, so I'm not going to get caught for fraudulently calling 900 psychic lines and charging them to my neighbor.
And then at the end, I did this little disclaimer here, totally protecting myself from what was to come.
I'd like to do psychic readings for more people, but we only have 8 minutes left, and Squid Dog and Rob wouldn't appreciate that, so we're going to have to end it. I think I should probably point out that although I made references that we are cheating the phone company and this is some sort of fraud that we're doing with 900 calls.
I just got my inheritance.
Yeah, Spessa got a nice inheritance check and we decided to blow it all on psychic calls, so.
Not all of it.
Yeah, we're not defrauding the phone company. Don't, please, Richard Cardo, when you listen to this, don't call Quest on us or Verizon or whoever we use. And, you know, yeah, this isn't fraud.
Here's the weird part, though. The next day, the next morning, I think I drove them out somewhere to get some coffee. And we went to get coffee first, but then as we're getting close to my house, I'm like, hey, go by 7-Eleven. I want to get my morning Pepsi. And we pull into the 7-Eleven parking lot, and there are two phone company vans in the parking lot and a police car. And I'm like, holy shit, look what we did. And it was definitely because of us. I can't imagine any other reason for anybody to be there. The weird thing about call forwarding is that it never fails to confuse the phone company, even though it's a completely normal service and it has been since the early 90s in most areas. Whenever you forward someone's phone line, they will get confused and they won't know what to do. They won't know how to unforward it. They're going to think that goddamn Kevin Mitnick himself is hiding up in the ceiling tiles and magically forwarding the numbers somehow. They just do not know how to handle it ever. It's like super rare that call forwarding is ever shut down quickly. And I don't know if I went home and I tried it out again on my Skype to see if it was still working. That probably wouldn't have been the best idea. But I was like, nope, let's not go in there. I don't need my morning soda anymore. Just go ahead and let's go home. And we did. And nothing ever happened of that. I didn't get arrested. And I continued being a customer of theirs for many years to come. But then, within a year, I suddenly discovered that I knew the manager of this particular 7-Eleven, and he knew of my phone nonsense stuff that I did all the time, because back in 1996, when we lived in that town, and the internet was brand new at that time, there were still things out there called bulletin boards, which were people's home computers that they set up, and you could call into them, and, you know, it was like the internet. It was a fun place to go. You could play games, you could have discussions, you could trade files. Bulletin boards were awesome back then, but becoming less awesome as the internet came around. And one of the bulletin boards that I called was 7-Eleven themed, and I thought, that's weird. What a weird theme for a bulletin board to have, 7-Eleven. And it turned out that the guy that ran the bulletin board worked at a 7-Eleven. Oh, look at this. It was called Different World. That was the 7-Eleven themed bulletin board system. It had a name called Different World. I'm looking at an old blog post of mine from 2010, and I'm just kind of quickly skimming over it. So I'm probably going to get the story all wrong compared to what the blog post says. I will link to this in the show description if you want to read it. So back in 1996, I uploaded an old PLA text file to this guy's bulletin board system. I thought he would kind of enjoy it because it's about 7-Eleven, because I had worked at many 7-Elevens myself, and I wrote a text file on things that customers did to piss me off, and then I continued with things you can do to piss off 7-Eleven employees, and it was a bunch of nonsense, you know. It was just all in good fun. I thought he would enjoy it, but he didn't. Instead, he called the police on me. And I receive a phone call from the police department in that town. And the cop was like, yeah, I understand you uploaded a file to this computer system. And the guy that runs it didn't appreciate it. And he feels like maybe you were threatening him. I forget exactly how the conversation went. And I think I was just honest with the police officer on the phone. He asked me if I uploaded this file. I said, yeah, I did. I didn't mean any harm by it. I just thought he would enjoy it, and apparently he did not. And the police officer asked me to not call that bulletin board anymore and don't bother the person that runs it or whatever. I don't think I did either. I don't think I ever called that bulletin board again. I was calling bulletin boards just to meet people and say hi and have fun on bulletin boards with people. I wasn't trying to piss this guy off. But soon after that, over the next few months, we start getting these weird hang-up calls at our house. And we didn't know why. Sometimes I would answer, sometimes my wife would answer. There was other people that lived there, they would answer. And these people would just hang up on us, and we didn't understand why. So finally, I looked into it. I called the phone company, and I'm like, hey, phone company, who owns this phone number? You can tell me, because I am an authoritative voice on the phone. And I found out that it was actually this guy, Kevin, who worked at 7-Eleven and ran the Different World BBS. Oh man, now I gotta read this blog post now, because I can't remember what happened. This says that I found out he was married, so it might have been his wife calling and not him. And it says, I don't remember what all we said to each other, but I called him up through a method of, you know, making my caller ID not show up for him so he can't hit the *57 and trace my call and report me to the police. And he actually commented on that. He's like, hey, why isn't your caller ID coming up? But I think I told him who I was and why are you calling my house? Why do you keep calling and hanging up? I would rather you not do that because, oh my God, do you know who I am? I harass people for fun all the time. I doubt I said that, but you know, he denied doing the hang up calls and so did his wife. And caller ID was pretty new at that point. And I guess that's why they didn't bother blocking their phone number. That's why I thought it might be the wife. Like maybe the wife doesn't understand it, but he obviously did because he got my phone number and called the police on me. So during the year that I lived in that town, I had this weird little battle with this guy named Kevin and his wife. And I think I did some things back to them on the phone. I think I got them to stop calling us finally. And I do remember when we moved to Ohio, I had a webpage by that point and they were flooding the guest book on it for some reason. The wife was. She actually said it was her. And I guess we'd done... I don't remember what I did to these people, you know? It happened so long ago. At one point, his wife showed up at my door, I guess just to put the scare into me. And then at another point, while I worked at Target, his wife came through my checkout lane and bought some stuff, and she wrote a check for it all, and I saw the check had her name on it. I'm like, oh, hey, I remember you. You came to my house one day. And we were friendly to each other. But after she left, I wrote down all the information on their check, like their account number and everything. I had plans to do something with it, but I never did. You know, I just wanted to fuck with them some more because what the hell? But when my beige boxing happened in 2009, I had completely forgotten about this guy working at 7-Eleven. And the only reason his name came into my memory again was because my friend Jessica, who was local to that area on Facebook, I saw a thing saying, hey, Jessica and Kevin are now friends. So I start chatting with Jessica and I'm like, hey, you know this Kevin guy? That's crazy. I have a really weird story about him. And that brings me to realize that Kevin works at that 7-Eleven right by my house, and I see him in there all the time. You know, I'm in there every day getting a Slurpee or a Pepsi or something, and I don't think Kevin ever noticed that I was me. He'd probably completely forgotten about me too, but I know I wore Phone Losers of America shirts in there all the time, but usually it wasn't him ringing me up. I could remember one time in particular that he rung me up on the register, but I started getting paranoid when I went in there after that. I knew what he looked like because after he became friends with my friend Jessica, I looked on his Facebook page and I'm like, oh, this guy. I remember this guy. I see him in there all the time. He's always doing inventory stuff. And then here's the really weird part. That issue of the old Phone Losers of America zine, the one where we did things to piss off convenience store employees, we decided to make a video of it, me and the Mr. and the Mrs. that helped me do all this stuff. And we did one of the things in that store, you know, the whole overflowing the coffee maker idea of mine that I've made people do in prank calls before. We did that inside their store and we secretly filmed it, and coffee was just all over the place, all over the floors and getting all over the cardboard of the cases of beer that are stacked on the floors all around it. And it made a huge mess, and 7-Eleven girl did not know what to think. We have her on video just being like, what the heck is going on? Where is it coming from? But all we did was put a full pot of coffee under the spout and hit the button to make another full pot of coffee. And that made a big mess, but it was a funny video. And I don't know how I didn't think of my old nemesis Kevin at that point when we were doing that, but I didn't. You know, I completely forgot about Kevin. That was years ago. So that's the story of how we were able to have people call in to the phone show and get psychic readings one night. But here's the thing, it wasn't just one night, it was actually two. We did this again, except this time we did it at my friend's house, and I'm going to tell you all about that as soon as we listen to Jennifer Martino of thisisarecording.com talk to a psychic on our first psychic show. This is probably my favorite call from that night.
Jen, do you want a psychic reading tonight?
Yeah, please.
Okay.
Hello, thanks for calling the network. This is Star. How are you?
Fine, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing great. And who is this?
This is Jen.
Jen with a J?
Yep.
How can I help you?
Well, I just have some questions. Can you tell me anything about my future?
When is your birthday?
You tell me, you're the psychic.
Oh my goodness, that would be very hard to see.
How?
It's not like a parlor trick of guessing someone's birthday. It's connected to what's going on around you.
Like the planets?
Well, not necessarily, but that has some influence on it. But are you two? Who's with you, Jen?
Oh, that's Jen is
some random homeless guy followed me home.
Sweetheart, come on, don't try to be funny.
No way.
We're trying to get. I'm sorry. Jen is my wife. My name is Richard. And then
how long have you been together?
Oh gosh, sweetheart, you're better with dates than I am.
I think it's been 5 days. 5 days.
5 days. That's it.
No, it's been more like a year and 5 days. She's got a real problem with sarcasm. Come on, be serious.
I almost spit beer out all over the console.
Wait a minute. There's
be serious.
More than two people here. How many people are in this conversation?
Jen is a complete slut. My name is Brad. I'm the other guy in her life.
We've been together for 6 days.
Wait a minute. Something doesn't fit in this picture.
We met on the same street corner.
Are you guys internet friends?
No. Me and Jen have been married, and then this is the other man in her life. We have an open marriage, and they get along a little better. They're kind of smart asses. I apologize.
I think she's just stalling for time. She wants to get paid more money.
No, it's not about that. It's very hard to get a reading with three conflicting energies.
I'm going
to
try and be quiet from this point forward. It's just going to be all about Jen and Richard.
Jen is the one who really wants information.
Yeah, Jen is the one you really need to talk to for the most part, because she's the most screwed up of us three.
Well, we're just trying to get her to take this seriously.
But I don't think she will. Jen, this doesn't sound like what works for you. Are you into these types of readings?
Yeah, sure. So what can you tell me about my future?
Something has to be changed that's connected to being very straight and sober, and about getting an influence away from you that's pulling you off of purpose, pulling you, you know, in a direction that's not giving you success or happiness.
You mean, like, because Brad's like my pimp, so like that, maybe? You think that's what it is?
No, I don't think he is.
Sweetheart, I think she might be talking about my methamphetamine problem.
Oh, yeah, there's that too.
Who was that?
Oh, I'm sorry, that's me, Richard. I'm addicted to methamphetamine, and that's pretty much it, alcohol and methamphetamine.
But something, look, there are conflicting images here. It's like somebody is not being who they really are, and it's
Jen.
It's putting some kind of an odd vibration in here that's making it impossible to see through.
Is it like a shattered mirror, or more like a foggy mirror?
It's different.
Like the washing machine.
It's an entity.
And spin cycle.
Are you in love with either one of these people, Jen?
Nah.
You told me just last night you were.
And what is there? Who's having the financial challenge?
Oh, y'all are, because of his addiction. Thanks
all
a lot.
Three, who is the internet freak? Who is the person who's on the you know, trying to find solutions on the net?
You mean like that movie with Sandra Bullock?
Who's trying to escape using the internet? Which one of you is it?
I think it's you, Jen. Let's let Jen talk, take over this conversation, because really she's the one that needs the psychic advice.
I want Jen to answer the question of what is missing from her life right now. Is it the committed relationship? That doesn't seem like it's around. What is causing this feeling like something's missing?
I don't know. That's what I called you for. Don't you know?
It's more than one thing. It's connected to money. It's connected to security. It's connected to having someone that you love and trust. Are either one of these people who you really love and trust?
Nah, I just keep them around.
But that's not what they think. They think you
know damn well.
You have some explaining to do.
The good news in this picture is that not immediately, but the time frame is around the middle to the end of September, something drastically changes for you, Jen, in a positive way. Are you in your chosen career?
I mean, this whole prostitution thing, I just kind of fell into it, so... I mean, I don't really know where I'm supposed to go from here.
Are you making money in this world?
Yeah, hand over fist. Unfortunately, all goes to Mr. Meth Head over there.
That's heavy. Now, Brad, she's just teasing me about what your profession is, correct?
As far as the pimp thing goes?
This is not for real, is it?
I'm sorry to say it is. We live in a kind of a rough area of Florida, and I mean, it's kind of a joke of us to call it like that I'm a pimp, but it's completely, that's pretty much the way it is. The dictionary term of pimp, is that's what I do with Jen.
He's going to give me a backhand later for this. He's going to show me his pimp hand later.
Are all of you guys in the same city?
Yeah, we're in Florida. Are your psychic frequency readings just going nuts, like a crazy compass with magnets around it or something?
Yeah, something is weird. Something is just not... It is out of focus or out of proportion to what's really happening with you guys. There's some person that's not even with you that's having an influence on this.
No, I am cheating on them both.
Say that again, Chad?
I am cheating on them both.
She said she's cheating on us both. This is news to me. I don't even feel like talking anymore. I'm going to just leave this to Jen and Richard.
Well, we have an open marriage, but that
member joined.
Well, who is this Spanish person? Who is this Hispanic woman that's supposed to be around Richard?
Ooh. A challenger appears.
Is there somebody, Richard, who's flirting with you?
There is, but she's not supposed to know about that.
I know exactly who it is, too. I'm going to cut that bitch on her face.
That wouldn't solve the
problem. No. There's...
Oh, make me feel better. I'm going to cut that bitch on her face.
Jen, there's no one. It's just you and Brad.
And you three are promising to be exclusive to each other?
Well, we have an open marriage, but it's just one constant three-way.
You know what? Somewhere in this picture there is a lightheartedness that is, it looks like it's at Richard. Did Brad leave?
No.
I'm still here. I'm just stewing in anger.
Because?
Oh, just the whole cheating thing. I mean, I know it's all open marriage and or open relationship, but I just don't know how to
tell him. I didn't tell him.
Yeah, she's supposed to tell me. And that's what an open relationship is, you know, she tells me who she's with every night. But she's been cheating on me, apparently. And, you know, aside from her profession as a prostitute.
Yeah, I don't count. That's not love.
Yeah, that's work. That's like acting, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. No judgment. It doesn't look like you
guys. I certainly don't do that with you guys.
Are judging her at all, which is okay.
It's almost the end of the show, Star. Do you have any good... you know, psychic advice for us before we let you go?
Yes.
Okay. Let's hit us with it.
Whatever it is that is bringing you the most happiness and quiet and
heroin,
feeling like you're on, you know, the wavelength where you're supposed to be, that's what you're supposed to be doing. If it's not bringing you happiness, there has to be a change.
Jen, does prostitution make you happy? Is that what you should continue at?
Okay, that's enough of Jen and the psychic. That call went on a lot longer, but I chopped quite a bit of it out because we were all just being drunk and stupid and having a little bit too much fun. As I was saying before, we did this again maybe 3 months later, and we used a completely different method the second time around, and we did this at my friend's house in a different state. I was over there staying with them, and they lived out in the boonies, like out in the country, up in the mountains, and I came up with this brilliant idea of being able to do it again, but in a slightly different way. It was in October of 2009, and this one is even crazier, the lengths that we took to make this happen.
We didn't use call forwarding this time. Instead, I called up my friend's phone company. I think it was Frontier, maybe it was Altel or Windstream. I get all those weird ones confused. But you know, it was one of those. Let's say it's Frontier. And they have this office for technicians, for the outside techs, that's called Assignment. And I used the Assignment office many times with my private investigative work to call up and get the phone numbers of every phone number working at a place. And normal people aren't supposed to have access to that. All you do is you call them up and you say, hey, I'm a technician. I'm working on something out here. Do you believe me? Do you believe me? Okay, good. Because I got a doozy of a problem here. I gave them my friend's home address, or maybe just their home phone number. I had them look it up one way or the other. Probably the home phone number. They had a weird address. And I said something like, we're trying to install a second line for them, so I need to know the cable and pair that the second line is on and where the crossbox is, which is the big green telco can that's out on the side of the road somewhere. It was like a mile down the road from them. Man, I don't know if I can explain this. It's like, I don't know the right terminology ever. I would often screw that up when I called up assignment offices, but there are two different wires for each phone line. So I got the cable and pair information, which is it's a set of numbers for their main line. And then I got the set of numbers for their secondary line, which they didn't have. They only had a main number. Their secondary number was just sitting there empty. They used to use it for dial-up internet, but then they switched to a T1 line, which sounds cool, but it was not. It was the slowest internet ever. But this cable and pair information relates to the big green telco can that's a mile down the road. It's called the cable and pair, or the tip and ring. I don't know. I always forget this stuff. But I swear, I'm not making this up. We really did this. I did this often just to get information on houses and find out who else had phone service at a certain address. So I get the cable pair information. I write it down. I also ask them what color the wires are inside the telco can. They always have that information, and they gave it to me. You know, color as in, you know, some of the wires might be orange. Some of them might be orange and white, kind of like Cat 5 cable is. And I didn't necessarily need that, but just in case the wires were not hooked up to the correct cable and pair, I could look in there and hopefully find them. But that didn't end up happening. It was all hooked up properly since they had had service on that second line before. They also gave me the address of where the telco can is exactly, and we drove down there. We checked it out in the daytime to see how easy it was to open up. It was super easy. Barely an inconvenience. It wasn't locked or anything, and for such a rural area, it contained a ton of phone lines in there, but I guess every house has hookups for at least two lines by default, so probably half the box wasn't hooked up. It just seemed huge. When it got dark, we took my Ford Focus there and my friend's SUV, and we parked them both in front of the telco box to block off what we were doing from any traffic. We even popped our hoods, so if anyone asked what we were up to, we could spit in their face and tell them to fuck off. Or we could pretend my car was getting a jump. My friends thought this was overkill, and it was, because not a single person drove by during our half hour there. Probably not even a half hour, more like 20 minutes. We brought the lineman's handset with us so we could find a phone line that had a dial tone on it. I don't know if you guys realize what I'm trying to do here at this point, but I'll let you know, don't worry. We found a phone with a dial tone on it, just a random cable and pair inside the box. And I know I tried at least a couple different dial tones in there, and I could not dial 1-900 numbers from their lines because everybody has that blocked. Why would you need access to 1-900 numbers unless you're a pervert or addicted to Miss Cleo? But I finally found one after maybe two or three tries. I found a dial tone that worked, and I tried a 900 number, and that worked. I brought some pre-cut wire with me, which was made out of Cat5 cable, because that's pretty much the same as phone wire, that I could quickly wire into the box. We located the cable and pair to my friend's house, and we dialed the ANI number on their number just to make sure I was on the right cable and pair, and I was. I hooked up one side of the two wires to the person that we'd found, the dial tone that I could dial 1-900 numbers from, and I ran the wires kind of behind all of the legitimate wires. You know, there's just a big mess of wires in there. And I ran them up over to my friend's wires, you know, to their spare line, and hooked them up and tried to make it so that if a technician looked into the box, they wouldn't notice anything fishy right offhand, hopefully. And as you can guess, now my friend's home address has a brand new phone line installed on it, aka some random neighbor of theirs that might live a mile away. This is the first time I've done anything this extreme, by the way, in a telco box, so I was pretty proud of myself
for pulling this off. We went back to their house and we plugged in their two-line desk phone. And the first line is their number, but there's a line two, which usually doesn't work because they only have one phone line. But now we hit line two and there's a dial tone. I didn't even have to do anything on the outside of their house. It was already hooked up and everything out there. And I dialed the toll-free A&I number to confirm it was the same number as the one we'd hooked into at the telco box and not somehow someone else's number. I don't know how it would be. But, you know, everything worked. We had a second phone line inside their house that did not belong there. I tried to convince them that they should leave that in there forever because nobody's going to notice. And even if they did, they're not going to know what to make of it. But they only wanted to use it for that night. I don't blame them. They don't need any trouble. So like an hour before the show is about to start, you know, I'm getting everything set up and I pick up the phone and there's an old lady on the phone line. She's talking on her phone and she's talking to some guy about random stuff. I can't remember exactly what, but at some point the guy pulls out a guitar and starts playing songs for her on the guitar and singing. It was so weird to be sitting there just listening to this as if we're on an extension phone inside her house, but we're actually a mile away or whatever. I don't know if we looked up who she was or not. I know I didn't anyway, but they talked for at least an hour that evening and I was starting to get nervous as the showtime approached. I'm like, oh man, we're gonna have to abandon all this work we did and not be able to do psychic readings because she's just gonna sit here and let this guy sing to her all night on the guitar. But I think she was finally gone maybe 20 minutes before the show started. And as you probably guessed, this time, instead of using call forwarding to just be able to reach one single phone number, now we can dial anything we want. It's too bad there weren't more 1-900 numbers around back then, because that would have been fun to really explore and play around with. But 900 numbers were on the way out. Everybody's getting cell phones, everyone's getting cable internet lines, which you could never call 1-900 numbers on those. And as far as I remember, we only had one psychic phone line, the one we used on the previous show, and we had one phone sex line. And also, if we wanted to, we could just prank internationally. We could call any number we want, and this random lady out in the country would be billed for it. But we didn't do that. We just stuck to the 1-900 numbers, and I bet you that was fun for her to try and explain to the phone company once she finally got her bill.
Hello and welcome to Vegas Hot Talk, where luscious Sin City girls are waiting to talk to you. Brought to you by ZMC Internet. The cost is only $3.50 per minute. You must be at least 8 touchtone phone. If you do not wish to be charged, hang up now.
And for the entire show, we expected her to pick up her phone line and completely ruin our show, but she never did. That would have been interesting if she had. I don't think it would have ruined the show. I think it would have made it more fun. And we didn't take calls on that show. We couldn't because we could only do one phone line at a time. Wait, no, that's not true. We didn't have Skype to be taking calls from because their internet sucked. They had the T1 line and we were already streaming to the internet our show. And I didn't think it was a good idea to try and bring Skype into it, but we were able to call two numbers at once because I know we bridged a psychic worker and a sex line worker on the same call together. Oh wait, no, we did that with three-way calling though.
We're gonna try calling some 900 numbers tonight, like more psychics, maybe some sex lines. If you want to suggest some 900 numbers, you can do that. Give us some overseas numbers, whatever. We're just gonna see how this works. I'm not even sure the audio is good enough to do this.
So for two entire hours, we entertained the listeners of our show with calls to psychics and sex line workers. We had our own fortunes read.
Let me see what I can find out for you here real quick.
Are you doing cards? Are you?
Yes, I do cards.
Are you a flamboyant?
Flamboyant?
I mean clairvoyant.
Clairvoyant. Yes, I can be.
We've got this part here where I try to have phone sex with a lady, but it doesn't go well. She's just not very good at it like I am.
Hey, who's this?
Oh, this is Roy. Can you hurry up with the phone sex? I'm on a tight budget.
Hurry up.
Quit talk.
Quit.
Cut out with the small talk. Let's just get to the sexy stuff.
Okay.
But don't curse because I'm a Christian.
Okay.
So, like, make it really sexy and dirty, but no bad, no swear words, no cussing.
What do you want me to do? Suck your tongue?
No, that's a curse word. Come on.
It's a curse word? Oh, come on. I don't know. I think maybe you should call, if you're Christian, maybe you shouldn't be calling this one.
Well, maybe you shouldn't be so judgmental, bitch. Listen, just get to the phone sex. Come on. Chop, chop.
Come on.
Hurry up.
Me?
I'm ready for you.
I'm excited here. Hurry.
Come on, give me that.
What?
Come on, I'm ready for you.
Well, you got to start talking. You're the professional. I'm paying money for this. Hurry up.
Well, come on top of me.
Come on top of you?
Inside of me.
That's the best you got? She just... Okay, I just...
I think she thought you came.
apparently, I'm not worth $3.99 a minute to phone sex people. $3.50.
I think we try to use psychics to our advantage to make sure we don't get in trouble for our 900 number fraud that night.
Success and triumph. Once again, more success. That's awesome.
This sounds kind of generic.
Positive, huh?
Yeah. Hey, can you answer me something kind of specific?
Sure, I can try.
Do you know, like, can you tell me if I'm gonna, I don't know, get arrested or go to jail or anything anytime soon for all of my 900 number abuse and fraud?
900 abuse and fraud, huh?
Yeah, you know, where I call 900 numbers for free, using illegal methods. Am I gonna get in trouble for that?
Well, that explains the judgment card.
Oh, of course.
And then this one here, this is the ultimate thing that happened that night, in my opinion. This is Dakota and the old lady psychic, and the psychic starts meowing like a cat, because that's sexy.
That's all I need.
I'm not allowed to do that.
Wow. If I guess it, will you tell me yeah?
You guys are good at drawing things out really long to make more money.
I know.
Okay.
What color are panties? Wait, let me tell you what color of panties you're wearing.
What the hell?
Huh?
I think Miss Cleo just is having a nervous breakdown.
Oh, cuckoo.
No. I'll just tell you, I'm king of the jungle.
Is that phone sex?
Yeah, I was trying to be a lion king.
Oh my God, I'm just turned on right now. But there you go. The lady that owned the phone number, she never picked up during the calls, or if she did, she kept her mouth shut. She didn't say one word to us. I think our show ran from maybe 9 to 11 or 10 to 12, so she was probably in bed by that point. And I was afraid she was going to hear, like, sometimes when you hang up a phone inside of a house and there's several extension phones, sometimes they will beep or they'll do like a little half ring as you're hanging up. I was afraid she was going to hear that happen. I mean, I don't know that happened, but it's possible. You never know. But luckily it didn't. We did our show unmolested by the innocent old lady who lived out in the boonies somewhere close to my friends. And we went back out to the telco box just in one car this time because we were less paranoid about it and knew it wouldn't take as long. And we disconnected those wires. I did try to convince my friends to keep the wires in there and just always have a second phone line, because how cool is that? I kind of think I would have done it that way. I would have kept the phone line, but that probably would have gotten me arrested eventually, or at least questioned by the phone company and probably put on some kind of a list. But we ripped out the wires. It just took a couple of minutes, and we shut the box and left it exactly how we found it, and nobody would ever know. There'd be no way to tell, and this poor old lady would definitely be on the hook for these 1-900 number phone sex and psychic calls she made one night. I remember when I lived in Texas in 1995, and I had a couple phone lines in my house, and they both had 1-900 number blocks on them, so it is completely impossible to dial 900 number calls from either of my phone lines. But as I said before, there are certain situations, or it depends on which carrier I remember. I seem to remember AT&T being the one that would kind of pass through your phone number to the 900 number system, and it would charge the phone calls to both of us. So I did the same thing, but I used remote call forwarding back then, because remote call forwarding was the latest in telephone company technology back then, and I could actually just do all this shit from home. I wouldn't have to go to a telco box. I would set it up with the phone company at a gas station or whatever, and there was a secret pin code that they would assign to you, and I would say, oh, can I have my pin code be this number? I want it to be the same as my calling card. And most phone companies would be like, sure, no problem at all. And you could do all that shit remotely. But I remember getting my phone bill one month, and there were all these 900 number charges on the phone bill.
deal, even though I had a 900 number block on my phone. And yes, I did make those 900 number calls from my phone, but I wasn't dialing a 1-900 number. I was dialing a local gas station or wherever else I had forwarded lines from, but I got charged anyway because it passed my number through. And it took so many phone calls to the phone company customer service people to convince them not to charge me for these calls because my argument was flawless. I'm like, I have a 900 number block on my phone. I've always had it there. As long as I've had phone service with you guys, how could I possibly call 1-900 numbers from my phone? It's impossible. I can't do it. You guys messed up, or some kind of fraud is occurring here. I don't know, but I'm not going to pay for this. I can't afford it. I don't remember how much the charges were for, but I didn't want to pay for them. I have a block on my phone for that sort of thing. I did eventually get the charges removed, though, but it took a lot of phone calls to the phone company and through different departments to convince them that I didn't do it. But unfortunately for that old lady out in the boonies, she didn't have that defense. She probably wasn't able to eat that month because we charged all these 900 number calls to her house. There was also this thing that I was doing where I was forwarding gas station numbers to 1-900 numbers when I moved to the city with 7-Eleven Kevin in it. And I was going up to payphones and I was calling this local gas station number, which connected me to a 1-900 number. And it was my own personal 1-900 number that I'd set up with the company. And I was trying to get rich quick off of it. And I'm like, holy shit, they're going to send me $2,000 in a couple of months. But they never did. So I called up the company finally. And the trick was I had a big roll of quarters and I was going up to payphones and putting a quarter in, calling this local gas station and calling my own 1-900 number. And each time I did that, I would make $20 or something. And my hopes were up so much for this big check I was going to receive. And I was just going to keep doing it every month forever and be a millionaire. But when the check didn't arrive, I called up this company that provides the 1-900 number for me. And I'm like, hey, I didn't get my check this week. Can you guys tell me what's going on with that? And they're like, oh my gosh, we've been trying to get in touch with you. The phone company has been calling us for a month now, and they don't understand how 1-900 numbers can be called from payphones all over your city. Because that's what I was doing. Every time I passed by a payphone, I would just put a quarter in and dial my own 1-900 number. And it seemed so foolproof at the time, but no, it confused the hell out of the phone company. They probably never figured out what happened because, you know, call forwarding, that confuses them. Such good times back in 1996. I was pretty disappointed that I didn't get my thousands of dollars and that I'd probably spent $50 in quarters over the past couple of months thinking I was making myself rich. Easy money never works out, you guys, even when your plan seems foolproof. But I guess that's it. That's my stories of getting 900 number psychics and phone sex workers to be on my show back in 2009. It was super exciting that it worked both of those times. And I was nervous about even posting the shows, especially the 7-Eleven show, because of the phone company trucks and police cars being at the 7-Eleven two blocks from my house. And then the whole telco box thing down the road, for that to work out, that was just amazing. I love that I was able to do that before the 900 numbers stopped working, because I really doubt there are 900 numbers working today anymore. There might be, I don't know, maybe there is, but landlines are quickly going away. I've noticed recently phone companies just want you to hook up a weird box to your house to get phone service that comes through the internet, and those aren't gonna call 900 numbers. There's no way. So what did we learn in this week's episode of Brad's Cactus Shack? I think we learned, for one, phone fraud's okay as long as the results are somewhat hilarious. And that old lady psychic was hilarious, and Dakota was so much fun. We learned that it's a good thing that traditional landlines are finally starting to disappear, because it is way too easy to open up a phone box on the side of the road and just clip onto random pairs and listen in on your neighbor's phone calls. I had actually done that before, like way back in the early 90s, just to get on bulletin board systems, because I missed being able to get on bulletin board systems when I was homeless. And I had a portable computer where I could just pull up to a telco can on the side of the road and clip into a random set of wires and get on a bulletin board system, which was really stupid and risky. I don't know why I did stuff like that, but somehow I never got caught. I think also we learned today that Kevin from 7-Eleven is such a little bitch. I mean, come on. I send you one little text file and you freak out and call the cops? Why didn't he just talk to me and say, hey, we don't tolerate that type of thing here on my bulletin board system, but I'm not going to try and talk to you about it. I'm just going to delete your account and I'm going to call the police on you. You know, I don't think I mentioned it one time when I was talking about Kevin, but he was the manager of that store in 2009. Back in 1996, I think his dad owned the 7-Eleven stores in that town, and then I guess he handed them down to his son when he got old and retired or whatever. But I didn't know that way back in 1996 that his dad owned the stores. I thought he was just an employee there. Holy shit, this episode is getting really long. I'm going to end it here. Thanks everyone for listening. I'm going to leave you with one more psychic phone call from the second show that we did. This is my friend arguing with a religious psychic over who prays better. Let's see who the winner is.
How may I help you?
Hello, what is your name?
My name is Brenda. Who are you?
I'm Spessa.
I'm sorry, who?
Spessa, are you writing it down or something?
It's Italian.
No, you ask me.
Yeah, Spessa. Spessa. Anyway.
Okay. Did you listen to my greeting about, well, I do that. Spiritual advice. I was, if you don't mind, I usually pray with you or the person beforehand because, you know, there's no magic ball here. But the one person that I know and I believe in is the Lord, and I learned it the hard way, even though I was raised in church. And He has done. I finally learned that voice that was telling me things was the Lord, and if I just listened. And He's given me great knowledge through the years. And
okay, you're dominating the conversation here. We can pray.
I wanted to ask you if you would like me to pray with you and let you know a little bit about how I read.
Yeah, I was hoping you could say that more concisely because I didn't really need to hear your life story about your, you know, how you grew up in church and stuff. So you could just say, can we pray? And I'll say yes. And so let's get to work on that prayer.
Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, I would like for you to bless this person. And
how does he know who I am if you don't know my name? That's too random.
I understand your name.
Let me do the prayer. Dear fucking Jesus, I would like to know when I'm going to get all the money that I deserve and when your garbage religious people that are pushing all of your theology on me are going to shut up.
Not a crystal ball, baby. Are you there?
I'm here. I'm talking to Jesus right now, lady. And I think it's incredibly rude that you're interrupting me.
Incredibly rude to call him fucky when I'm the one that would do that.
He doesn't care. How do you know how Jesus feels about language?
Just go ahead. And to give you advice, you go ahead and pray.
Thank you. Now, since we've been rudely interrupted by humor, I would like to ask when my money will come and when I'll have to have the opportunity to stop calling psychics to get in touch with you and when you'll come back and take all the religious people back to heaven and get them the hell out of my life so they'll stop talking to me on street corners and handing me pamphlets and knocking on my door and all that crap that's really annoying. I love you, Jesus, but you're a real dick. In your name we pray, amen.
Yeah, he sure can be sometimes, can he?
Yes.
Yes. Anyway, are you out of work, sweetie? You're talking about when you're going to get the money.
Yeah, I have a really good job, but it's just not enough to cover my drug addiction. So I was just hoping that maybe I could have just a boatload of money and then, you know, or, you know, I would take that compensation in drugs also. Whatever, you know. As
you know
long,
what? You know what?
I'm not picky.
I understand. I'm glad that you're very honest with me. Now, I can give you, since you're being like that, have you ever heard of a website called sexyjobs.com? I feel
as if you would be very good at that.
At sexy jobs?
Yes, you sound like you've got the personality. You're outgoing, you're out there, you say it like it is.
You are so just buttering me up, and then you're going to let me down.
No, are you in front of a computer right now?
Uh-huh.
Go to www.sexyjobs.com, sweetie.
Okay.
I'm not going to ever put anyone down. I've been there, okay? Okay, I've been on drugs before, okay?
This episode of Brad's Cactus Shack is brought to you by SexyJobs.com. Do you have a personality? Are you out there? Do you say it like it is? Then SexyJobs.com is the perfect opportunity for you. To learn more, visit SexyJobs.com or call Brenda at 1-900-SexyJobs.com so she can tell you about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and then pray with you slowly about SexyJobs.com. $4.99 per minute, $2 connection fee.